It's night time. A set of wrought iron gates with an elaborate key at the top bar the entrance to a large house. Peter Falk as Columbo. Inside the house, a fire flickers in the grate, casting an amber glow over the otherwise dark room. How to dial a murder. A photograph on a sideboard shows a woman smiling between two men. All of them are dressed in tennis gear. Guest stars Nicole Williamson, Kim Cattrall. At the sound of an old-fashioned phone ringing, two Doberman dogs stationed outside the property prick up their ears and dash towards the house. The cable from the antique phone runs down the wooden unit it's encased in. A hand reaches out and unplugs it from the socket, causing a phone in a different part of the house to start ringing. The ringing echoes through a dimly lit study, with a plush leather chair at the polished desk. On the wall behind is a wooden sled, painted with the word Rosebud. Also starring Joel Fabiani and Frank Alliter. White flakes tumble in a snow globe placed on a counter in the expansive kitchen. The phone rings on the wall. Special guest star, Trisha O'Neill. The two dogs trot in through a flap in the door and stare at the phone expectantly. Dogs viciously attack a stuffed dummy hanging from the kitchen ceiling with a speaker attached to its chest. Now in an auditorium.
You're gonna die. Every last one of you. I'm sorry to give you the bad news, but that's a fact. Death. Sooner or later. Show me those dials. Now the woman sitting next to the man in the check suit. Spread out. Give yourself some living space. If we wanted you next to each other, we'd fill this hall and I'd make another 100,000, but you wouldn't get the point, and the point is, take control. Take control of your own space, your own lives, your own responses. We don't want you crammed in, contaminating each other with your nasty little fears and insecurities. And if you don't think that you're that kind of a girl or that kind of a boy, then what are you doing here, shoveling out your hard-earned money to the good doctor? Now, did anybody forget to twist his dial?
No.
Oh, come on, I can't hear that. No, Dr. Mason!
No, Dr. Mason!
Good. Charlie, how did they do on the word death?
Dr. Eric Mason is accompanied on stage by the two dogs. In a booth, Charlie checks a printout.
They didn't like death. Negative 8 dB on that one.
Thank you, Charlie. You're not really sure what death means, but you don't like it. You don't like the word. You're bothered by the word mother. You're afraid of the word father. Words! Food, money, boss, wife, sex. Mommy and daddy started setting you up right from the cradle, conditioning you. They took control with the control words. Then the words took control. Now who's got the control? I've got the control. The words lock you into your locked up little lives. Now we're going to teach you how to smash the lock. Laurel, Hardy.
The dogs follow him across the stage.
They're not very bright, but they answer to their names. What name do you answer to? All right. I'm going out and eat lunch, a nice big lunch. But you're not going to eat until the facilitators tell you that you can eat. Oh, you'll earn that privilege. Bert, Ian, and Betty will help you with that. They're going to hear you count. Count backwards from 100. Count yourselves right back into the cradle. Now, start counting. 100, 99, 98, 97,
96, 95, 94, 93, 92.
What's on the docket, Charlie?
You wanted to check the foreign language.
Oh, no, they'll wait.
And the seminar for the new facilitator group?
Oh, God preserve us. Come on in.
Laura, come on, party.
Come on, come on.
Oh, Charlie, Charlie. I grow weary.
Try the Institute for Life Control.
Will that save me?
From what?
The Institute for Life Control. Let's run away and be Indians, Charlie.
Do you miss her?
Lorraine? Lorraine's dead.
You never talk about it.
The car went over the cliff. She stopped living. I can't do that. Not even for her. It wasn't that good a marriage, if you want to know.
Eric.
She was seeing somebody else. Somebody. Oh, I don't know who. Love her. Do you still want me to talk about it?
No.
Come on, let's get out of here and play some tennis.
Well, I thought you'd never ask. Your place?
I have an annual physical with Ernie Garrison. Take me a couple of hours. If I'm late, just let yourself in and make yourself at home. I'll meet you at the house at 3:00.
Yes, sir, boss. Tennis at 3:00.
Oh, Charlie, you do me a favor and take those clowny doves home for
my
me.
Pleasure.
Don't let them push you around.
Come on, gang. Let's go.
Goodbye, Charlie.
I'll see you at 3:00.
Eric's expression becomes cold and unfeeling. Now he's going through a fitness test.
Terrific. You ought to do this for money.
Is this the best you can do?
Well, let's find out.
The doctor increases the speed of the treadmill, then turns up the volume on Eric's heart monitor. Eric checks the time. It's 5:05. Charlie pulls up and parks in the driveway of the large house.
All right, everybody out. Scram, go on. Beat it.
The dogs run off, and Charlie heads up the steps towards the house carrying a tennis racket in his hand. Eric's heart rate's increasing. Back at the house, Charlie hears a splash and looks around to see a young woman in the pool. She waves cheerfully to him, and he waves back. He heads into the house, and the woman ducks under the water and swims away. In the doctor's rooms...
We'll do a resting trace for 5 minutes. Then I'll be back.
Thanks, Ernie.
Ernie leaves the room, and Eric quickly becomes alert. He sees it's a few minutes after 3:00, then reaches for the phone and dials a number. It starts ringing in the kitchen, where Charlie's just opened the fridge. Alerted by the sound, the dogs run in from the tennis court and through the door flap to stare intently at the phone. A little bemused by their behaviour, Charlie then answers the phone.
For you. Dr. Mason's residence.
Charlie, it's Eric. This damn physical's taking longer than I expected. I'll get there when I can.
Whenever.
Oh, Charlie, help me settle an argument with this big shot doctor. Ernie won't take an expert's word for it, so you tell him. Now, in the movie Citizen Kane, what was written on Kane's sled? I mean, exactly what was written there.
Well, the sled's hanging in your den. It says, Rosebud.
You hear that, Ernie? Here, Charlie, I'm holding up the phone. You tell him nice and loud.
Rosebud!
The dogs lunge at Charlie. Eric listens with sweat beating his brow. At the sounds of Charlie's struggles and the dog's snarls, he clenches his fist in triumph. At the house, the phone swings from its wire. Ernie comes back into the room.
Any pain now?
No, I never felt better in my life.
Now, the coroner's department are removing the body from Eric's house. Alongside their vehicle is a van marked Los Angeles County, Department of Animal Regulation. Eric walks to the back of it and stares at the caged interior. He seems surprised to find it empty. He turns and sees the dogs playfully jumping up on a man wearing a beige raincoat. It's Columbo.
Come on, ball. When I say that's it, that's it. All right, one more time, and that's it.
He throws the ball to the man from animal control, and the dogs run to him, passing Eric.
All right, officer. They're all yours.
Lieutenant, they're my dogs.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir. You must be Dr. Mason. Here I am, playing away with these dogs as if nothing happened. I know what a terrible shock this must have been, sir. I mean, coming home and from the doctor and all, and finding out what happened to Mr. Hunter. I'm Lieutenant Columbo, sir. Homicide? I'm afraid, sir, that, we have to make out a police report in every death, sir, when the victim wasn't under a doctor's care. Are you a physician yourself?
No, my doctorate's in psychology.
You're very tall, sir.
For a psychologist? Or for someone whose dogs just killed his best friend?
It was just a general observation, sir.
You're an acute observer, Lieutenant. What'll happen to my dogs?
Well, for now, they're being held by the animal regulation people.
And then put away?
Well, that's up to the court, sir, but I'm afraid under the circumstances...
I'm not arguing the point, Lieutenant. Obviously, they have to destroy it.
Oh, Dr. Mason. Dr. Mason. Excuse me, sir. Are you Dr. Eric Mason, the mind control doctor?
Not mind control, life control. There's a difference, Lieutenant. I'm not a Svengali.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply, sir. Just last night, my wife was talking about your institute. Oh, you're a very famous psychologist, sir. Mrs. Columbo, she's highly enthusiastic about taking one of your 48-hour sessions to study control, sir.
I understand her enthusiasm, Lieutenant. But it seems that I can't even control my own dogs.
Well, you know, that's been bothering me too, sir. They don't seem to need much controlling. I mean, they're very affectionate animals. I hit it off with them right away.
They hit it off with everybody, Lieutenant.
Until today, sir.
Yes. Until today.
Were they trained, sir? I mean, some kind of guard dog training?
The only training they've had is to be affectionate.
The victim, Mr. Charles Hunter.
Dr. Hunter.
Dr. Hunter, sir. Did the dogs get along with Dr. Hunter, too?
With everyone.
Including Mr. Joanne Nichols, sir?
Look, I don't know how many ways I can say it, Lieutenant.
Right, sir. According to Sergeant Burke, Miss Nichols called in her report just after 3 o'clock while you were still at the doctor's. I understand she lives with you, sir?
Not with me. On the premises. In the guest house.
Right.
I've never believed the myth about Dobermans turning into spontaneous killers. I still can't get it through my mind. Something happened. Charlie must have done something to provoke an attack.
Can we just step into the house? It's a remarkable room, sir. I've never seen anything like it. All this memorabilia, all these wonderful things. It's easy to see, sir, that you're a fanatic film buff.
Oh, we all need our dream worlds, Lieutenant. Even psychologists. Are you a collector?
Oh, no, sir. I wouldn't know where to begin. W.C. Fields. Now, sir, there was a genius.
This was his pool cue.
It's curved.
Look at that.
And this is his pool table.
No.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant.
May I, sir?
Yes.
Eric puts balls on the table.
W.C. Field.
Columbo positions the cue ball.
See if we can hit this in the corner pocket.
He fails.
What I wanted to ask you, sir, when you knew that you were going to be late for your tennis game, did you happen to call Dr. Hunter to tell him you were going to be late?
No. We both knew I might be held up.
But not as late as it turned out.
Not as late, no. Do you enjoy games, Lieutenant?
I've never had time for them, sir. But I'm sure you're very good at games. Having your own tennis court and all.
Columbo puts down the cue and paces away from the table.
Oh, this looks very old, sir.
Oh, that. It's an old movie light I picked up last week. It's called a baby spot. I'll work on it and clean it up, like those.
Would you have been expecting a phone call? This sled, sir. What would this be for?
It's priceless. From the movie Citizen Kane.
With Orson Welles? Oh, that was a terrific movie, sir. Mrs. Columbo, she claims that's a masterpiece.
I'll tell Mr. Welles that she approved. Could we get on, Lieutenant?
I was going to ask you, sir, if you would have been expecting a phone call around 3 o'clock. I mean, if you had been home, would you be expecting someone to call?
Nobody specific?
I'd like you to be sure about that, sir. Lord knows, after what happened here, you'd be entitled to be confused about something like a telephone call.
I appreciate the dispensation, Lieutenant, but I'm still capable of recalling whether or not I was expecting a call. I was not expecting a call.
I wouldn't, sir, not if you're headed for the kitchen.
To tell you the truth, sir, it's pretty awful in there. I wouldn't go in there until they cleaned it up.
A little annoyed, Eric closes the door he's just opened.
Was there a particular point you wanted to make about Charlie? Or the dogs?
Oh, right, sir. I almost forgot.
Is that a real phone?
Of course.
Columbo lifts up the earpiece of the old-fashioned phone unit.
It's unplugged, sir. There, by the baseboard. What I wanted to show you, sir, the kitchen phone is a wall telephone, just like this one. The way we found it, the receiver was hanging like this. It's still hanging in there, sir. The kitchen phone. That's the way it's hanging now, and that's the way it was hanging when I first found it. You understand?
Yes, I understand. You make it very clear, Lieutenant.
Well, that's the point, sir. You said that just prior to the attack, what Charlie must have been doing was provoking the dogs. I say what he must have been doing was standing there talking on the telephone.
Well, that seems a reasonable assumption. But when the dogs went wild, couldn't the phone have been knocked off the hook?
Not if you listen to the phone, sir. What you're hearing, sir, is the sound coming from the kitchen phone. And that's the same sound that I heard when I first arrived and I put the kitchen receiver to my ear.
And what does that tell you, Lieutenant?
It's a fast, busy signal, sir. If the phone had been knocked off the hook, what we would be hearing is a steady tone. No, sir. Your kitchen phone rang. And your friend answered it. You can count on that, sir.
Well, since we seem to be playing some kind of a mind game, couldn't Charlie have been calling out on the kitchen phone?
No, sir. In that case, we would be hearing a steady tone. With a fast, busy signal, we know the call came in. That's a fact, sir. I checked with the telephone district.
Oh, well, you seem to have won the game, Lieutenant. I accept your fact.
That still leaves the question of why the dogs attacked. You see what I mean, sir? It certainly has been a tragic year for you, hasn't it, sir? I mean, with your wife's death just 6 months ago and now this.
Well, you know, we all have to deal with our emotions.
And my first instinct is always to turn to a friend. And the first friend I think of is Charlie. And then Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy, sir?
My dogs.
I should have known.
Now, Columbo's leaving the house.
You certainly have a beautiful home here, sir. It's like something out of a movie itself.
It belonged to Theda Barra. You see, when I leave the Institute, Lieutenant, even I live in a dream world.
Oh, there's nothing dreamy about you, sir. Not the way those thousands of people depend upon you for peace of mind. Well, we'll be seeing more of each other, sir, until the investigation is settled.
Lieutenant, it's not that I haven't been impressed by your company, but what is there to settle?
Well, it's that telephone again, sir. You see, whoever called Dr. Hunter must have heard those awful sounds in the kitchen, sir. Must have heard the dogs and a man dying. Dying and screaming, sir. And nobody called the police. We never got a report, sir. Not a single one. Except for the young girl down here in the guest house. So you can see, we would like to know who made that telephone call, sir. You understand, sir. Good day, sir.
Eric turns as if to go back into the house. Columbo sets off down the steps, whistling cheerfully, then stops and doubles back to take the path leading to the swimming pool. Eric watches him. Now Columbo's with Joanne, the young woman from the pool.
I came in and he was on the floor. And the dogs were at his throat. I tried. But I couldn't do anything. I ran away.
But you called us, miss.
For all the good it did. I'm cold. My folks back home, they were upset when I told them I was living here with Dr. Mason. They said that I'd get into trouble. I think I'm in trouble.
Excuse me, miss. How did you come to live here?
It beats a college dormitory.
She walks away from Columbo, clutching a soft toy to her chest.
See, I met Dr. Mason when I did the control course at the Institute. And he said that he and his wife had a guest house and they liked having psychology students. And they said I could live here if I helped take care of the main house. So I talked it over with Sigmund and we took it.
Sigmund?
Sigmund. Daddy said that he'd always look after me. Daddy didn't know about the dogs.
Sigmund is her soft teddy bear.
But after Mrs. Mason died, I had the whole place to myself mostly, you know, weekends and all. So it turned out to be a good deal. Lieutenant, would you like some hot chocolate?
Oh, I like that very much. Very much.
So would I.
There'll just be a few more questions, miss.
Ernie.
Did you know Dr. Hunter?
Sure. He was around a lot.
When you say you had the place to yourself, did you take care of the dogs?
Well, sometimes. They were terrific company. But Saturdays or Sundays, sometimes both days, Eric took them.
To the Institute, miss?
No. He hasn't worked weekends since Mrs. Mason died.
She accidentally drops some mugs.
Why didn't I think of that?
She unsteadily makes her way out of the kitchen, followed by Columbo.
Over here, miss.
As she sits down on the sofa, Columbo picks up Sigmund and takes the seat opposite her.
Miss, just before the screams, just before the thing happened up in the kitchen, you said you were swimming. Now try and remember. It's very important. Did you hear a phone ringing?
No.
Ordinarily, when you're in the pool, can't you hear a phone ringing in the kitchen?
Yes.
But you didn't hear a phone ring?
I didn't hear any phone.
Thank you very much.
He gives her back her beer.
You try and get some sleep.
He looks at her warmly, then puts a comforting hand on her shoulder before turning away and heading to the door. He stops and raises one finger, as if an idea has just struck him, then turns back to her.
One more question, ma'am. Just before the screams, were you swimming on top of the water, or were you swimming under the water?
I was diving. Swimming under the water.
So you couldn't have heard the phone ring up in the house?
I didn't hear any phone.
He holds up his hand in a gesture of contentment as well as a farewell, then heads out, almost bumping into Eric, who's been waiting for him with a stern expression.
Oh, sorry, sir. Just leaving. Excuse me.
Columbo walks away, and Eric heads into the guest house. He makes his way up the spiral staircase leading to the first floor. Joanne appears and runs into his arms.
Listen to me. I want to comfort you, and I want you to comfort me, but not until you take control. Think of your secret word. The word that nobody knows but you. The word that defeats every other word.
I've got a new one. A new secret word. Blood!
Now, who's going to control your life? You or that word?
Don't worry about it. I'll sleep it off.
You've suffered a terrible experience. It's time to go home. Get out of this place, Joe.
But I don't want to go.
You've wanted to go ever since you've known.
Known what?
That you and I aren't going to be lovers. That I control my own space. That you can't have everything you want just because you want it.
What the hell do you know about it, Doctor? What do you know about it?
Dogs are in training at the Guardsman Kennels.
Hugh.
The woman's dog barks at Columbo.
Okay, all right. Out! Sit! Sit. That's a good boy. It's all right, Lieutenant. You can pet him.
Why should I?
To show him that you're friendly.
Why doesn't he show me first?
Come on. Farouk's a love. Come on.
Who knows what goes on in the head of a dog?
I do.
You do, huh? How you doing, old-timer? You know about dogs. Then what about those Dobermans? Why would they kill Dr. Hunter?
They've never been trained as attack dogs?
No, ma'am.
Well, then they might kill for the same reason people do, Lieutenant. Why do people kill?
Oh, I understand those reasons. People murder out of fear, jealousy, greed, sex, all those things.
Well, so do dogs, Lieutenant. And sometimes, like us, they just go crazy.
To a man wearing heavy padding.
Henry, you're gonna need that funny suit. Farouk, heel. When a dog goes killer wild, we call it reverting. It's reversion back to the wolf. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but it happens.
Well, that would explain it, ma'am.
Except that you told me you played with the dogs after they went savage. Now, I've never heard of a reverting dog that didn't stay that way.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am. We didn't clear much up, but it sort of highlights the problem.
Glad I could help. Bye-bye, Lieutenant.
Henry, we're just gonna run a couple, okay?
Watch him, Farouk. Watch him. Watch him. Farouk, kiss!
Farouk viciously attacks Henry, tearing at the protective padding.
Come! Farouk, come!
Miss Cochran,
Ma'am!
Good boy. Good boy.
What did you just do?
Just an attack command.
But you said... K-I-S-S, ma'am.
Well, that's Farouk's attack word. A dog can respond to any command as long as he's trained to understand it. Here, I'll show you. Farouk, watch him. Watch him. Kill!
Farouk runs and jumps up on Columbo, then proceeds to lick his face.
Oh, yes! Yes, you good dog. Yes. All right. All right, that's enough.
Oh, Farouk,
that's
down.
Enough.
Down.
All right.
All right.
You mean that a trainer can control a dog with any word? Any word at all?
A sign, or a sound, a word. Any word in any language.
Right, right. Millions of words. And you can train any dog to do that?
If he's smart enough, yeah.
Even a dog like mine, back there in the car. Just a regular dog. My wife, she's alone a lot, me working nights and all. We were thinking of training him up to be a guard dog. I feel a lot better knowing she was protected. Come on, dog. Here's the teacher.
Columbo lifts a basset hound out of his car.
Come meet your teacher. Sit, just like I taught you. Sit. All right, now stay. Don't go running around. You see, this dog could be a lethal weapon. He's already partly trained. What do you think, man?
If you want to protect your wife, Lieutenant, why don't you just teach her karate? Goodbye.
Columbo stares at his dog, then points at the car.
Kill. Kiss.
The dog completely ignores him.
Go back in the car. Get back in the car.
He scratches the dog's chin and pats its chest.
Well, listen, you're only a dog. You're not a college professor.
Eric's at the Department of Animal Regulation.
Sorry, sir. This is a closed area.
Oh, my name is Mason, and the officer at the desk told me I could see my dogs.
I don't know, Dr. Mason. Just a second.
Laurel. Hardy.
I'm gonna have to check with Lieutenant Columbo. He's around here somewhere.
Officer.
When will my dogs be put away?
Nothing definite. You'll be glad to know the lieutenant's doing everything he can to keep them alive.
I see. Thank you.
The officer heads out, leaving Eric alone with his two caged dogs.
Oh, my darlings. I wish you a long and happy life, but that wouldn't be so comfortable for me, would it? So you're gonna have to do me one last service. You want some candy? Guess what I got for you? Your favorite chocolates. See?
They're only supposed to be fed by the officer, sir.
Not even chocolates, Lieutenant?
Not even chocolates, Doctor.
Well, in that case, would you care for one?
Thank you all the same, sir.
Delicious. I'll say goodnight, Lieutenant.
Oh, I'm glad I ran into you, sir. There's something I wanted to ask you. The technicians found this on your kitchen floor. They asked me to account for it, sir. Do you know what it might be?
It looks like straw, Lieutenant.
The technicians, they were confused by that, sir. They couldn't figure out where it came from.
Oh, I'm sure it's from a case of wine I ordered last week.
Right, of course. Well, that would explain it. Straw from a case of wine. I told them it was going to be something like that.
Will there be anything else, Lieutenant?
Well, as long as you ask, sir, just to fill out my report. When you used to take the dogs away on a weekend, what is it you did with the dogs?
We walked on the beach. They played, and I would think. Thinking's an old-fashioned habit, Lieutenant, and one well worth cultivating.
Well, I'm going to have to try that sometime, sir. You were always with the dogs?
Always.
On the beach?
On different beaches.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Lieutenant.
Eric heads out, and Columbo watches him go, wearing a knowing half-smile on his face. He turns to the two dogs in the cage behind him.
Kill! Kiss! Diamonds! Rubies! Sneakers! Terrific.
At the sound of the phone, the two dogs perk up, and Columbo looks intrigued. He looks at the phone ringing in the next room, then back at the dogs. He snaps his fingers.
Terrific.
He goes into the adjoining office and presses a button which lights up. He dials a number, and the phone in the next room starts ringing. The dogs immediately get to their feet and start whining. Columbo narrows his eyes and watches them thoughtfully. Now Eric is in a technical room, taking readings from a variety of equipment. Lines on graph paper suddenly become erratic, creating wild peaks and troughs. He puts down his clipboard and looks down into the auditorium. Columbo is sitting in a seat, fiddling with a dial. Looking perturbed, Eric picks up a microphone.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Columbo looks round in bewilderment. Then Eric gives him a sarcastic wave from the booth.
Oh, it's you, sir. They told me you was busy. I was just playing with this. Is that all right, sir?
We use it to monitor reactions to certain words. Words control our lives, Lieutenant, if we let them. That's why we encourage our people to learn a secret word.
To fight off all the other words. Do you have a secret word?
No, I don't think so. Do you have one, sir?
Of course, Lieutenant. My very own. I'll be right down.
Now in a boardroom.
It's about your late wife, sir.
Lorraine?
Yes, it's mostly about dogs.
And that telephone call just before Dr. Hunter died. I can't get it out of my head that someone wanted the dogs to kill.
Lieutenant, I can't.
You could have been the target, sir. An enemy. Someone who wanted to get rid of you. Something went wrong and Dr. Hunter killed instead.
That's incredible nonsense.
Not if you consider your wife. The automobile accident. Her car going off a cliff. The investigators, they still can't figure out why. Is there someone who hated you and Mrs. Mason enough to see you dead?
Do you really believe that?
Well, sir, I can't say that I do. It's just that we have to consider every side.
You do that very well. You're a fascinating man, Lieutenant.
To a psychologist, sir?
You pass yourself off as a puppy in a raincoat, happily running around the yard, digging holes all over the garden. Only, you're laying a minefield and wagging your tail.
It's just the job, sir. It makes us look that way.
We'll discuss it sometime. Your whole personality.
Oh, I would enjoy that, sir. Well, I guess most people, they like to hear about their personalities. I mean, especially from an expert. Lord knows I do.
I could sit and listen to someone talk about me for hours. I'll be running along, sir.
Columbo leaves, then pops his head back into the room.
You don't have any time now, sir, do you?
No, please, look, I'm really very busy.
Sorry.
Columbo heads off. Eric hovers his pen above his paperwork, then slams it down on the table in frustration. Joanne, standing at the glass-paneled door of the guest house, staring out at the leaves being blown about by the turbulent winds. She heads out into the storm and makes her way up the steps to the main house.
Eric?
Columbo's inside.
Dr. Mason is lecturing tonight, miss.
I'm sorry, I saw the light.
Miss Nichols, there's something I have to ask you. In the kitchen.
I can't, not in there. Please.
We can try, miss. I know how you feel. But kitchen, that's just a word.
They enter the darkened kitchen, and Columbo switches on the light.
See, it's just a kitchen.
He leads her by the hand.
What I wanted to ask you is, you heard Dr. Hunter screaming. Now, where was he when you saw him?
There.
There. And the dogs?
There.
What you heard?
Was it just a scream? Or was Dr. Hunter trying to say something?
He steps on a stool and examines a hook on the rafter.
Can you hear me up here, miss?
He was calling for Eric.
He was calling for his friend. This hook, miss, do you know what it might be for?
No. I've never noticed it.
Right after seeing that, that's when you called the police.
I tried this phone, but it was dead. So I called from the guest house on my own phone.
Thank you, miss. You did very well.
Miss Nichols.
This spotlight. Dr. Mason calls it a baby spot. He says he picked this up last week, but he couldn't have bought it at one of those cinema buff stores. It's got a lot of dirt on it, you see that? And his secretary says he worked every day last week and most of the nights.
Well, it was a weekend, Lieutenant. He always brought home lots of junk when he took the dogs with him. Like that old hitching post.
Well, that makes sense, miss. There's a lot of rust on this, but you can still make out. It says, property of Callahan Film Ranch, Peachtree, California.
There. You might try starting your own collection.
I just might go there, ma'am.
Good night, Lieutenant.
Good night, miss. Good night, sir.
Columbo pulls up in what looks like a Wild West ghost town. Tumbleweed drifts past as he stands and stares at the run-down front of Callahan's saloon. Most of the glass window panes have been smashed and only one shutter door remains. Columbo heads off down the dusty thoroughfare. He stops outside a wooden house. A hook on a chain swings to and fro on the front porch. He peers in through a broken window, then turns and seems to become mesmerized by the monotonous swinging of the hook and chain. He stops the chain and peers intently at the hook hanging from it. The metal inside looks clean, implying that something's been rubbing against it, wearing away the dirt and rust. Spotting something on the ground, he quickly picks it up. It's a circular section from a broken speaker. He puts it down, then picks up a thick length of wood which has a metal hoop attached to it. The top of the hoop has been worn clean, just like the hook. He hears a dog barking in the distance and straightens up, then hangs the length of wood from the dangling hook and chain. Leaves and dust are being blown about by the strong wind. Columbo stands back and stares at the contraption before him with a curious expression. Elsewhere, someone's walking steadily towards a plant pot. They take a key from the soil inside, step up to a door, then slide the key in the lock. It's Eric. He lets himself into the apparently unoccupied apartment and directly makes his way to a desk. On it is a photograph identical to the one in his house. It shows himself, Charlie, and his dead wife Lorraine posing in their tennis gear. Eric picks it up and stares at it for a moment before putting it face down on the desk. He opens a drawer and scrabbles through it, then moves on to another. He finds a bundle of black and white photographs held together with an elastic band. He flicks through them quickly. They show Charlie and Lorraine posing in a series of loving and romantic shots. He pockets them and is about to head out when he doubles back and puts the framed photo in its original place.
Dr. Mason?
Sir?
I've been looking forward to having that psychological discussion about my personality, but this is not the time or the place.
I was looking for some reports that Charlie was working on. What brings you here, Lieutenant?
Oh, just looking around, sir. Looking and thinking. Thinking and looking.
In my work, we call that gestalting.
Gestalting?
Trying to find the particular out of the totality. Looking for the one reality that explains the whole.
I guess that's what I've been trying to do with this suit. Dr. Hunter, he's got a lot of suits, but this is the only one without a jacket. Did he wear this one much, sir?
I wouldn't know. We wear blazers at the Institute. Well, these are what I need. Good luck, Lieutenant, with whatever you're looking for.
Right, sir. I'll just stay on here and gestalt a while.
Eric starts to leave.
Oh, Dr. Mason. Could you tell me about how Dr. Hunter was with women?
He was divorced a few years ago.
I mean just before he was killed. Any special women in his life?
Different women, nobody special.
I gather from your staff that he was quite a ladies' man.
Well, that was the game Charlie was good at.
Well, don't let me hold you up, sir.
We'll still have that personal talk sometime, Lieutenant.
Eric leaves, and Columbo takes Charlie's trousers and waistcoat into the bedroom. He puts them down on the bed and stands for a moment, looking lost in thought. He takes a puff of his cigar. Now, it's a rainy night, and Joanne's sitting fully dressed on her bed, smoking a cigarette and holding Sigmund in her hand.
If at first you don't succeed, run away, Sigmund. Run away.
She tosses him into a packed suitcase, then takes a drag on her cigarette. Hearing someone at the door, she hastily stubs out her cigarette. Her unseen visitor is making their way up the spiral staircase to the upper floor. The figure pauses on the landing and stares at her. It's Eric. He has a rain-soaked coat slung over his shoulders.
Tonight.
Goodbye to all this.
Joanne doesn't move from the bed as Eric slowly walks towards her.
Everything that's ever lived has to die, Joanne.
Not like Charlie died.
Eric takes off his coat and sits on the bed beside her.
Poor Charlie.
He starts as she reaches out and gently touches his face.
I couldn't make you happy.
He removes her hand.
Not after Lorraine.
Lorraine and Charlie. All your grief for them and nothing for me. No more grieving, Eric. Your wife and your friend. They were lovers. You never knew that.
What?
I saw them. When you were working at the Institute. When Charlie came here. And he took her to the places they went together. They were lovers, Eric.
You knew that. All the time. And said nothing.
You loved her so.
Eric's eyes shift from side to side. Then he reaches out and touches her cheek.
You mustn't talk of this, Joe.
He traces his thumb across her lips.
Never. No one can know.
Has his hands around her throat and looks as if he's about to strangle her when the sound of the door downstairs interrupts them. It's Columbo.
Excuse me, Miss Nichols. I thought I might find Dr. Mason here. Good evening, sir. I hope you might have a little time.
Time for what, Lieutenant? Do you think we could find one single word that dominates your life, Lieutenant?
Well, now that you put it that way, sir, I suppose there is one.
Then say the word.
Murder.
Oh, well, that's simple enough. Your work dominates everything.
Doesn't everyone, sir?
Only a fortunate few. Now, I'm going to say a word. And you tell me the first word that comes into your mind, then I'll say another word and so on. Murder.
Dogs.
Justice.
Work.
Mother.
Father.
Father.
Win.
Pain.
Fail.
Murder.
Word.
I'd say you had a wholesome enough childhood, and you're something of an overachiever, Lieutenant. But how did we get from murder to word?
Well, it's those dogs, sir. I keep coming back to them. How maybe there's some kind of a signal. Some kind of a special attack word that the dogs will respond to.
But then the dogs would have to be trained.
The worst of it is, if someone did train the dogs, they could dangle that word right in front of me and I wouldn't even recognize it.
But the dogs would, according to your theory.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, the dogs would certainly react to the word.
But isn't there an order for the dogs to be put away?
In 48 hours. This is terrific wine, sir. Judge Jacob Metzler handed down the order yesterday. I understand he's a friend of yours, sir. May we play the game again?
Sorry, the game?
The word game. Only this time, I'll start. Money.
Work.
Work.
Teach.
Elephant.
Tusk.
Wolf.
Dog.
Dog.
Kill.
Kill.
Charlie.
Wife.
Love.
Animal.
Hunt.
Trap.
Word game. You're right, Lieutenant. It's an excellent wine.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I'll explain to Mrs. Columbo how my condition is work-dominated.
Well, I think she might have guessed.
This gate, sir.
with that big letter K. I can't get it out of my mind that I've seen that gate somewhere before.
It's your wife's favorite movie, Lieutenant. That's the gate from Citizen Kane.
That's it, sir. The opening shot of the movie.
It's through the gate to the big house.
And just a single light in the window.
And the crystal ball?
Snowing in the crystal ball.
And Charles Foster Kane dies?
That's where it all begins.
With his last word. Rosebud.
The sled. The one that's hanging on your study wall. We go on like this, sir. We'll be playing the word game again.
Huh?
Good night, sir. That's some terrific gate.
Good night, Lieutenant.
Dog. Dog. Kill. Kill. Charlie. Wife. Love. Animal. Hunt. Trap. Word game.
Nothing.
What'd you expect, Lieutenant?
We'll try it again. In the cage.
Columbo puts his tape recorder in the cage with Laurel and Hardy.
Murder. Dogs. Justice. Work. Mother. Father. Father. Win. Pain. Fail.
Mm-hmm. Murder. Yeah, 1 second.
Word.
Lieutenant, it's for you, Judge Metzler.
Columbo makes his way into the next room and shuts the door behind him.
It's Lieutenant Columbo, Judge. Thanks for returning. It's about those two Dobermans and the death order. I understand that they killed the man, but I'm not sure it was really the dogs that killed him. I can't prove anything, sir, not without those dogs.
Better get out here, Lieutenant.
The dogs have turned and are snarling and barking through the bars of their cage. As he stares at them, Columbo puts his hand to his head. Now, the pale early evening sun is glowing through the branches of a tree. Columbo is walking and talking with the dog trainer, Miss Cochran. As the sun sets, Columbo's standing by his car, puffing on a cigar and twiddling with the aerial. Later, he's dozing in the car when Miss Cochran brings him a mug of coffee. She gently shakes him awake and gives him the drink. Now it's morning, and Columbo's still at the kennels. He yawns, looking exhausted. Now it's evening. Eric gets out of his gold-coloured car and heads towards the house. He quickly enters the kitchen, turns on the light, then looks horrified to see a dummy dressed in Charlie's clothes hanging from the hook. As Eric steps cautiously towards it, the dummy gently swings to and fro. Suddenly, Laurel and Hardy come in through the flap in the door. Eric looks afraid and confused. Columbo steps into the kitchen.
That's quite a stunt, isn't it, sir? I mean, the way the door would go to the phone like that.
What the hell are you playing at?
Oh, just my game, sir. You're good at tennis and word games, and Dr. Hunter, he was a winner with women. This is my game. He's my partner. I call him Charlie.
Really? You have a morbid streak, Lieutenant. I should have suspected that.
It's as if the dogs were trained to be right there at the phone when Dr. Hunter got that call just before he was murdered. And the murderer had to be certain that this was the only phone that would ring. May I show you, sir? In the study.
Looking unsure of what's happening, Eric goes into the study with Columbo, followed by the dogs.
You know, Judge Metzler countermanded the order on Laurel and Hardy. That was very good luck for us, sir. You remember this phone was disconnected. That's so Dr. Hunter would answer in the kitchen, where the dogs came in.
Don't feel you have to comment, sir.
It's just a theory.
Do you mind, sir? I really enjoy the game and I don't get much chance. Would you care to join me?
They both take up cues and go over to the W.C. Fields pool table. Columbo reaches into one of the pockets.
Oh, I found this tennis ball, sir. It's like the kind you use, with dog tooth marks on it.
He rolls it down the table, then takes a shot.
I found it out at the old Callahan movie range. Where you got this baby spot, sir?
Yes, I visited Callahan's.
Columbo prepares to take another shot.
That's where the murderer trained his dog, sir. On the Western Street. With a hanging dummy, sir. Made out of straw. Just like the one that's in there. The same kind of straw, sir, that the technicians found in your kitchen that day. And you know what the murderer did? He took a loudspeaker and he put it inside the dummy to repeat the kill commands, so that the dogs would tear anyone apart when they heard that attack word. If you'll just look in that pocket there, sir.
Eric takes a scrap of material out of the pocket.
You see this, sir? That's what the murderer dressed the dummy with, out there on that old Western Street. I found that when I went back there to take a second look. This is a torn piece from Dr. Hunter's missing jacket, so the dogs would take the sensor to reinforce the kill command. Doesn't that make sense to you, sir?
Eric glances over at his dogs lying in front of the fireplace.
What does all this have to do with me, Lieutenant?
Well, Charlie died in your house. The dogs are your dogs. 14 balls, sir. And then there's your wife. If you'll just look in that pocket, sir.
A photo of Charlie and Lorraine.
Dr. Hunter and your wife. It must have been one of those time delay snapshots. There's a whole bunch of photos just like that in Dr. Hunter's desk. Maybe that's how you found out about their affair, sir. And you picked up those photographs that day that I was in Dr. Hunter's apartment. Only I took this one first, sir. Before you got there.
You play a first-rate game, Lieutenant.
Well, my father taught me, sir. So that was the motive. Their affair. That's why you killed your wife, Dr. Mason. I can't prove that. I can certainly prove that you killed Dr. Hunter.
Not without the kill command, Lieutenant.
Oh, that won't be necessary, sir. It was really a very simple case. Starting with that kitchen phone, sir. Because you're the one that called Dr. Hunter. You claim you were at your physician's having your heart examined. Which was true. Electrocardiogram, sir. Just before 3 o'clock, your physician left you alone for a resting trace. At that moment, you were lying down in a restful position, and your heart showed a calm, slow, easy beat. Look at this part. Right here. Lots of sudden stress. Lots of excitement. Right here at 3 o'clock, your heart beating like a hammer just before the dogs attacked. Oh, you killed him with a phone call, sir. I'll bet my life on it.
Eric backs away.
A very simple case. Not that I'm particularly bright, sir. I must say, I found you disappointing. I mean your incompetence. You left enough clues to sink a ship. Motive. opportunity. And for a man of your intelligence, sir, you got caught in a lot of stupid lies. A lot of them.
Columbo turns his back on Eric, who looks towards the dogs.
Laura, Hardy.
The dogs come to him.
I think you deserve the whole package, Lieutenant. The total picture. Everything to make your case complete.
Oh, I think I've made my case.
Watch the dogs.
Columbo eyes Laurel and Hardy.
Rosebud.
The dogs snarl, and Derek points directly at Columbo.
Rosebud!
The dogs leap at Columbo and start licking his face.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, that's it. Okay, that's it. Now, when I say that's it, that's it. All right, one more kiss and that's it. All right, that's it, fellas. That's it.
Eric looks stunned as the dogs go back to the fireplace.
Is that what you call a conditioned response, sir? The way you just turned those dogs on me?
You knew the command.
The point is, sir, you knew the command. I didn't know it. I just heard it. It was on this tape machine. You see this, sir? That's what they call a voice-operated control. When this is attached to this, like this, and somebody talks, it switches on automatically. Now, I had this in my pocket that night a few weeks ago when you and I played the word game.
He presses a button on the tape machine.
And I played that for the dogs. And just by accident, sir, they heard that part where you and I stood out by the gate and talked about Citizen Kane.
Charles Foster Kane dies.
And that's where it all begins.
With his last word, Rosebud.
Laurel and Hardy, they went crazy. And then there was this lady dog trainer. And she knew how to deprogram the dogs. So now, instead of killing when they heard the word, they kissed. It's like trading one conditioned response for another. You understand, sir.
Columbo takes the W.C. Fields curved pool cue from the rack.
Can I try this again, sir?
It's very good, Lieutenant. Remarkable, really. You take control very well, all the way. I'd swear you'd taken my course.
Oh, no, sir. Oh, no. Never. It's just that I enjoy the pleasure of the game.
He takes a shot and completely misses the cue ball.
I wonder how W.C. Fields did it.